The second of the last 3 weeks of ordinary time, I don't know if you've noticed, but the scripture passages are kind of increasing in intensity level because we're focused on the last things. Like there's that coming particular judgment when we die and stand before God, followed by the general judgment at the resurrection of the dead when Jesus comes again, which we will all be having to face. And it's giving us an opportunity to question, how will we face it? Next week is even stronger, more intense. The temptation on our part, when we're trying to get ready to doing a homily on these things, is like, maybe I should find some way to sugarcoat this because it is really getting intense. But actually, that's not what we're supposed to do, is it? Is it? Supposed to treat them for what they are and what they're trying to bring us, which is this. They're getting us to take a good, close, personal examination of what we're doing with what God has entrusted to us. First reading is from the book of Proverbs. You know, bless the man who has a worthy wife. Husbands, do not look at your wives right now. Piece of advice. Who is this worthy wife? Who is she? In fact, it's actually not a good translation, the word worthy. It's actually better, diligent, valiant. Not valiant like Joan of Arc in armor and drawing a sword and charging off into battle, but valiant as one who, with diligence, is receiving what's entrusted to her and utilizing it to transform a house into a home. For who? Remember, the overarching theme that runs from the beginning of the book of Genesis all the way through to the end of book of Revelation, God's relationship with the human race is like a bridegroom to his bride, the human race being the bride. So the worthy, valiant, diligent wife in the book of Proverbs is meant to encompass all of us. We're being entrusted with what's necessary to transform this earth, this home, this house, into a home. For whom? All of God's people. At the individual domestic level, to the general community level, to the national, to the global level, we're meant to be utilizing all that God provides. Take this and make it into a home, helping all of us to prepare for when we get to the end and there's that great wedding feast of the Lamb of God at the end of time. It's, are we making good use of what God has entrusted to us? The gospel comes in there. You know, we've got this guy who's going off on a long journey. He calls three of his servants and entrusts to one, five talents, another two, and another one. What's a talent? There are two primary theories. One says it's roughly equal to about 50 pounds worth of gold, or 20 years worth of wages, which is going to come down somewhere around $1 million. So one guy gets 5 million, another one gets two, another one gets one. Note what is said right there at that spot. How does he entrust five, two, and one? Each according to their ability. In other words, God, the master, God, knows his servants thoroughly well and what each is capable of. In other words, he's not unreasonable in his expectations, except for the fact that we do something, because that is really all of us, that we do something with what has been entrusted to us at the basic level. What it is, the primary talent, treasure, that we have all been entrusted with. Are you alive? That was not a rhetorical question. Are you alive? I'm assuming because you're sitting there and it looks like you're all breathing. You have been entrusted by God with the gift of life. A precious gift from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death and beyond into eternity. We don't cease to exist when our body is dead. It will be resurrected at the end of time. You have been entrusted with the gift of life. What are you doing with it? That's not a rhetorical question either. You need to answer that for yourself, obviously, but what are you doing with the gift of life that has been entrusted to you? On top of that, if you're sitting here in church this morning, I'm going to make the basic assumption that you have at least been baptized. Anybody here been baptized? I have time. Which means that through the gift of God, you've been given the precious gift of being incorporated into his body, joined into his dying and his rising. From natural life to eternal life. Confirmed? Anybody? I know some of you are still preparing and on your way there, but you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit for strength, for wisdom, for prudence, for guidance, for courage. What are you doing with it? Further, some of you are preparing for your first Holy Communion, the gift of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. What a gift. What a treasure. You receive that grace every time you receive Holy Communion. What are you doing with it? Because notice, you've got two servants who take what has been given them and they are diligent with it. They're valiant with it. They use it and multiply it. They participate in taking and making the church from a house into a home. For who? For the entirety of the body of Christ and we'll try that again. And we're just sitting here all by ourselves, all nice and fat and happy, right? And that's enough? I'm hoping somebody's going to say no. Because what are we supposed to be doing? The entire church shares together in the work of evangelizing, which means living this so thoroughly and completely that our lives are a constant living witness to Christ out there, drawing others who don't know him yet in here to participate in being members of the kingdom of God on the road towards the second coming of Christ and to celebrating the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb. So again, you've received these immense treasures that go way beyond any weight of gold. What are you doing with them? You know, this is the intensity level of this, because what happens to this third guy who only you see, you know, the master knew him well, so he only entrusted him with one talent. What did he do? What did he do with it? Nothing. He's buried it in the hole in the ground. And then when he gets called to account for it, how does he respond? He doesn't even accept responsibility for the fact that he did nothing with it. He tries to blame the guy who gave it to him in the first place. It's like, I knew you were a hard guy. It's like, it's your fault. You gave it to me. That didn't go too well, did it? You know, he gets cast off into the outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, which basically means what? He's not going this way. He's going this way. There are seven deadly sins. Can you pick out which of them this is? Hint, it starts with an S. Over here. Sloth. This is a slothful individual. He doesn't do anything positive or constructive with all that has been given him. Instead, he basically completely wastes it by doing nothing with it. I think that's something of a plague in our day and time. There is a lot of slothfulness going around. It's like a plague. A lot of times we just sit back and we watch for somebody else to do something instead of getting off of our and doing our part to help build up and strengthen and nurture the body of Christ and turning the house of God into the home of God's people, readying for the coming of the kingdom of God and its fullness. That's something we all are meant to have a part in and for which all of these gifts of grace have been entrusted to us, each according to our ability by the God who knows us absolutely to perfection. What are you doing? Every time at the end of Mass, you are being sent forth, not to just see who can get to lunch first, but challenged and sent forth to take, again, you've heard me say this before, to take all of this and put it to work out there. We live in a world that is desperate to encounter the mercy and the love of God. And every single last one of us are meant to be carriers of that into the world in which we are living today. No one should be denied by our lack of effort, by our slothfulness, to encounter that in each of us. We have been entrusted with so much by a God who has so much mercy and love to give that he even invites our participation in spreading it out there. Don't bury God's grace into a hole somewhere in the ground, meaning just wasting it somewhere inside of you. But actively look and take opportunities to bring the love of God to everywhere you go, to everywhere, every person that you meet. You have an inexhaustible treasure. The more you give it away, the more you have. It multiplies when instead of being slothful, we're diligent, valiant, constant in giving God's mercy away without limit until we have taken our last breath on earth.